ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. Tonight we have a very special guest to cover a very important topic. We're going to help you, for those of you that are confused. You're just at the border, possibly, hopefully, God willing, about to accept that there's only one God. You're ready to worship Him alone without any partners. You're ready to do what God wants you to do. But you know what? You're confused about some things. You've seen some things blowing up out there. You've seen Islam being associated with terrorism. So you know what? My next guest that I'm going to bring out, he's going to help clear up some of these misconceptions. I'm very excited. He almost didn't make it today, but he's here tonight. Get ready for our special guest, Sheikh Waleed Bassouni, here on The Deen Show. You don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, I'm very excited.
Me too, Eddie.
We almost didn't have this meeting, but you committed and you made it, even though you were teaching all day.
Yeah, I've been teaching actually the last 2 days, from 10 to 8.
Yeah.
But, and also traveling all this.
Traveling and teaching and helping to educate the people.
You.
And you made it. I'm very excited.
I'm glad to be here, and my family, by the way, watch your show all the time. They talk about it.
MashaAllah.
So my daughter are excited about this episode in particular,
well,
I guess.
Let her know. I'm excited to have you here. Muslims know about you, but we tried to cater to a lot of the non-Muslims because we want them to know that Islam is for everybody. Islam is for the whole of mankind. And we want them to know a little bit about you. From what I know, tell us, you fill in the blanks. You have a master's in Islamic theology?
Yes, I did. I actually finished my bachelor's degree in Islamic studies in Saudi Arabia. Then I finished my master's also over there. And also, 1.5 years ago, I finished my PhD as well. And all of my studies were in theology. Islamic theology.
Also a PhD.
Alhamdulillah, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, mashallah. Yeah, so you're also an imam. That's like a spiritual leader at the Houston or...
Clear Lake Islamic Center.
Yeah.
Lake Islamic Center.
Okay.
And it's in Houston, Texas. That's where I live.
Yeah. So we're not talking to some car mechanic about Islam. We're talking about somebody who knows Islam. You know the Quran?
Yeah.
You know the language, the original language that it was revealed in, the Arabic? So you're someone who's qualified to help clear up some of these misconceptions.
Alhamdulillah, yes.
All right. But you know, before we start, you know, I was fortunate enough, alhamdulillah, I went to visit. Are you actually from Riyadh, or from where were you born?
I was born in Cairo, but I raised in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I went out there, I saw some of the customs, and I got to hang out with Sheikh Yusuf Estes, and people
Excellent.
Were really excited about, you know, lined up. They wanted to meet him, and everywhere we went, you know, they have all these, what do you call them? They got the chairs lined up, and you can fit like 50 people in a room. What are those called? And they bring out these little cups like this.
Yeah.
And they have the chai. So I want to do a little something like, all right.
Oh, that sounds good.
Everybody was like, Ahlan wa sahlan. How do you translate
Thank
that,
you.
Please, for our...
What's up?
And they had the dates everywhere we went. We had the special, they had the special coffee, so...
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
You just be careful. I know one brother who was in Saudi Arabia, and he kept telling his wife, oh, I had a lot of dates in Saudi Arabia. She said, what? She said, I mean, dates to eat, so...
All right, so let's get down to business now. Tell us... Terrorism, Islam, it's all over the media, CNN, NBC, Fox News. They're portraying one picture. You also got some Muslims who might not be doing something that's correct. Talk to us. Tell us about this.
Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me in your show. And I'm so happy to see these shows dedicated to educate non-Muslims about Islam. As you said, this religion is meant for everybody. Everybody should benefit from the teaching of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah Himself said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Muhammad, we have sent you as a mercy to mankind, not to a certain race, not to a certain group, not for a certain time. It's for mankind all the time. People should benefit from his teaching. And one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ emphasized on it so much, and he gave even a special segment of his last ceremony that he addressed the Muslims in general when he performed Hajj just right before his death. He talked to Muslims and he warned them from extremism. Mm-hmm. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ الْغُلُو, be aware of extremism. Because that concept of being extreme, overexcited, it was exist in all nations before Islam. As a prophet, as a messenger who had been told by God about previous nations, what kind of problems that they had, he was also informed about this as one of the problems that might this Ummah face in future. So he warned his companions and his followers from this. It is something the Prophet emphasized on it in that speech so much. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ الْغُلُو, إِيَّاكُمْ الْغُلُو. And also in several occasions he talked about it, to warn us from being extreme in our views, extreme in the way we understand or practice the religion, or practice the religion. So, unfortunately today there is a picture been drawn in the media about Islam and Muslims. I think there is exaggeration. As somebody said it or put it, he said, I believe not all Muslims are terrorists, mm-hmm. but all terrorists are Muslims.
Yeah.
I think that's exaggerated. That's not true. There's a lot of extreme group out there who are not Muslims. Yes, I agree there is increasing in the trend of groups and certain individuals who happen to be Muslims. They're carrying views which is considered extreme violence that they carry out to the society. But I think this needs to be studied, to be analyzed. I don't think the religion is that necessarily, the religion itself is what led to it. Islam is one of the religion that the issue of spreading corruption on earth, which it means distractions, killing innocent people, or destroying societies, being uncivil. This is something totally against the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a matter of fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to a society. They used to fight over silly things, mm-hmm. over a camel. 40 years they fighting each other over a camel. People will easily walk out and kill somebody because they don't like him, or because a revenge, because that person talked bad to my tribe or about my tribe. The Prophet forbade such things and build a civil society. To the extent one time a man came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I see my woman fornicating with a man and I kill him, would you kill me? He said, yes, you will be killed because you cannot take law by your own hand. So that Prophet who came to establish a society, which is in Arabia in that time, they don't know what law means. And they basically fight of everything, as I just said, to build a civil society. They respect Allah and there is a law and order ruling them, and to listen to a ruler. This was something new for them. The Prophet ﷺ in Medina built a society where basically they have law, can basically manage them, governor them, and there is a governor that they listen and they obey. The Prophet ﷺ saw many times people come with extreme ideas or views, and the Nabi ﷺ will warn against that. The Prophet ﷺ said that I will always choose what is easy in people. The Prophet ﷺ respect the soul of people. For any reason he can, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, protect the life of any human, he will do it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the Prophet who said that there is a woman enter hellfire because she killed a cat. So would you imagine the same person will encourage and basically from his teaching, you will imagine that it is allowed for you to go and kill innocent people, innocent humans, once the Prophet ﷺ was sleeping. And one of his enemies sneak inside the Muslim's camp and managed to get a sword. And basically, he woke up the Prophet ﷺ by putting the edge of the sword to the Prophet ﷺ's throat. And he said, Ya Muhammad, tell me who can save you from me now. Then he said, Allah. When he said that, his hand started shaking and the sword fell off his hand. He picked the sword and the Prophet ﷺ pointed the sword to him and said, and who can protect you from me now? What's God that you believe in can protect you? Nobody. Did the Prophet ﷺ kill him, execute him, order his companion to put him in jail? No, he let him go. So there's so many incidents like that where the Prophet ﷺ, through his teaching, through his actions, he proved to his companion, he taught the ummah, the Muslims ummah, that they should be far away from labeled as extreme, as a people who are thirsty for killing or for killing people or attacking other nations. That's never been the case in the history of Islam.
Tell us, is there anything in Islam that allows or condones someone to hijack a plane, someone to go out and bomb a building where there are civilians in it? Is there anything that would give someone some kind of authority from the verbatim word of God, the Quran, or some of the sayings, authentic sayings from the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that would allow such things?
Absolutely not. There is actually a fatwa, which is a ruling, been issued by the senior scholars in Saudi Arabia 30 years ago, before 9/11, before all these happened.
Mm-hmm.
So signed by Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah.
They condemned these things.
And he said specifically that it is forbidden, it is illegal, there is nothing can justify this, that to specifically mention hijacking airplanes, attacking urban areas, civilians, and bombing them. Like what you hear in the news, somebody go and blow up himself inside a pizza store or a train or bus or airplanes. All this, there's nothing can justify that. I can't see anything in religion can justify that. When people use any evidence to justify themselves, to justify for themselves doing this, actually they twisted the verses. You know what? They will do that without any verses in the Quran. In my opinion, by looking and seeing those people's how they act, they don't care for a long time. And one of the things I would like to say here, the people not doing this to die, they've been doing this for years and years and years. As a specialist, as a person who studied theology and the history of Islam, and I can tell you for the longest time, we have example of people killed, not non-Muslim, the most righteous Muslims, like Ali ibn Abi Talib. And they will kill him and they will believe, or Uthman ibn Affan, the third caliph, one of the companions of Muhammad.
The companions of the Prophet.
Yeah, they will kill them and they will believe that they did the most righteous things in the world. And they will justify this for themselves by verses here or a hadith there. So I don't think we should, and this is an advice for my friends, the non-Muslim friends, don't ever be fool or basically believe anybody just come and said, oh, God said kill the disbelievers or do this and do that. Because that person who already made that decision, he's not really waiting for a verse or a hadith. Most of them, they motivated by either revenge, social problem, political problem, politically they motivated against others. And some of them religiously been misled. And that's why we need a lot of education to those people, a lot of people to debate with them, to talk to them, especially before they reach the level where it could be turned to soldiers. One important thing, and that's kind of advice to any Muslim who hear me today, to tell them there is a stage the person goes through it. First stage, he's thinking about it, he hear all this debate. Then after a while, the person transfer from being just a citizen to be a militant, to be a person carrying weapon. So whenever you hear the bomb, you hear the bullet been shot, that's not the first stage. That's the last stage. We have to deal with it from the basically the roots and to prevent this from happening. And no doubt, going back to the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, going back to the verses of the Quran, you will see clearly there is nothing can justify what you see a group like Al-Qaeda or people like this doing today. In the name of Islam, that's, I can't see as a specialist, I can't see anything can justify these actions.
Tell us, because I have a lot of points I want to cover, and if you can put some of these verses that I'm going to bring up in context, because I'll get certain people that will try to communicate to me, and they'll quote me certain verses and say, look, this is what your book teaches, this is what your prophet teaches. For instance, Surah 9, verse 5. How would you comment on this?
Okay. You know, there is a. We cannot, in this short period, or this episode, to go over every single verse or evidence that they might do. What I want us to know.
Give us a formula.
Yeah, I want us to know, especially the non-Muslims who are not familiar with the system of Islam.
Yeah.
There is a common sense. It's between Islam and any other religion. Any academic person or any person who research for the truth, he should follow that method, which is you cannot ever take one single evidence and you base your whole argument on it. You have to bring all related evidence to the subject. So you cannot pick one verse from the Quran and you forgot about the verse before it and after it. For instance, that particular verse that you caught in Surah 9, verse 5, in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically talking about the kuffar of Quraysh, the pagans of Mecca, who were in war with the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ had a deal with them, then that deal, that treaty came into an end, and now Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to fight those mushrikeen and to basically not to accept from them any treaty. Okay, that exact same verse, let's see how the Prophet ﷺ applied in real life. That verse that we talk about, the Prophet Muhammad conquered Mecca. When he conquered Mecca, he didn't have a big fight, by the way. Just maybe for a few hours, just the fight took place, and after that, they surrendered. All those pagans that the verse said, kill them, kill the pagans, kill those infidels, as some people might say. Yeah. Those people, they were lying up front to the Prophet. Did the Prophet kill them all? No. The Prophet said, you are free to go. He took over this town, which has the house of Allah, which is meant to be a pure place to worship Allah alone. After he conquered that, he let them go. He didn't kill them. So if somebody today say, this verse said kill them, why the Prophet didn't kill them? The Prophet didn't do that. Because that's not what it meant. We have to understand the religion in the light of, how the Prophet applied this hadith. Also, you take this verse and compare it to the other verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you fight those who are fighting you. The people of Mecca, they tried to kill the Prophet. They killed his companions. They declared war against him. So that's normal for you to fight them back. The people in the north of Arabia, they declared war against the Prophet by the help of the Romans in the north of Arabia. The Prophet fought them back and sent the armies to them. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet ﷺ never ever start a war against anybody. Actually, we always say in Janahul Salm, Fajnahla, if they want to have a treaty with you, open the door for them to live in peace. Islam always promote that people will live in peace. Islam is one of the first, it's the first religion as far as I know, that taught his people to accommodate people from other faiths. It's a very founded in our religion that Christian and Jews, and through the history can witness for us that. Through the history, Jewish, they could find more safer place for them more than the Muslims' country to live in it. When they've been basically attacked and killed in Europe, they migrated to the Turkey, migrated to Morocco, migrated to North Africa, to the Muslims' land. Christians, they also admit and they know that when the crusader themselves walk into Jerusalem and they kill their own, the people who are Christians like them, but they don't share with them maybe the same exact branch of Christianity, they've never been treated like this by Islam, by the hand of Islam. Christians lived in Egypt, in north of Africa, and all over the Muslim world, and their rights protected. If this been said, nobody can say that it has to be an ideal. We don't live an ideal world. Mm-hmm. Muslims are not perfect. Muslims are like any other nation. You know, there is a difference between religion and the people who follow the religion. I'm not saying every state in the history of Islam was a perfect state. There is bad examples in every nation, in every generation.
You mentioned those examples. What I want to go into next briefly, because we're almost out of time, is that so this would be the defect in the human being, that individual. Because we can give examples, for instance, from people who were supposed Christians, Hitler. Christian, he went out killing a lot of people because he thought that, you know, they killed his God. Is this correct?
Yeah.
So we can give some example. KKK, they were thought they were doing some good stuff by lynching people. Is there any other examples that you know of that of other faiths that or people in a faith. Timothy McVeigh went up, blew up some building, and so we want to separate the actions of individuals from the whole Christianity, Judaism, or Islam.
I think that's a common sense. I don't need these examples. But many people, for me, as a Muslim, I really care about my Muslim my Muslim brothers and sisters. I make sure that they don't cross the lines. That's my nature. I don't give myself the authority to point finger to other religions and you have this happen to you. For me, I think that's fine. That can be set an example.
Yeah.
But I think that's not the point. The point, everybody agrees. There is no perfect human. You know, everybody has problems and mistakes. Yes, maybe some Muslims done something wrong. But look at the benefits that the Muslims have brought to the world as well. Look at the society that we're living in. There is a lot of things we enjoy today. Modern science is started by a lot of Muslim scientists. Muslim civilizations have contributed to it, and the Muslim world today are part of this globalization that we're living in, and we have to figure a way for Muslims and non-Muslims to coexist together in peace. And we all line up against those minorities, which is the extreme group. I think they are minority, but they are loud. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that the media try to do is try to make them big, try to basically make them bigger than what they really are, and try to label Muslim. There is 1 billion Muslims on the face of the earth. You cannot label Muslims. You cannot basically say all Muslims or most of them are like that. And those people are minorities, and they are isolated, but they are loud. And sometimes we give them the excuse. We give them the excuse to do what they are doing by basically not practicing what we believe. If I may say something here, one of the biggest problems I see in the so-called war against terrorism, that a lot of people who declare that, they are not sincere in this. Mm-hmm. They do it for political reasons.
Yeah.
Or for economic reasons, to make money out of it. They're not really sincere about it. And that's one of the biggest problems. For Muslims, especially the Muslim scholars, they are sincere about fighting terrorism and extremism. Because one of my goals, those people who are extremes, I want to save them from the hellfire as well. I want to reach my hand to them to save them. I'm not their enemy. In a sense, I also want person who want to give them dawah. I want to guide them. I want them to leave this path that they have taken and go back to the society and be part of the society. I think if we are sincere about it, I think we will succeed more than what we are doing right now.
So tell us the main message of Islam. Now we have we've clearly stated the facts that Islam condemns killing innocent women, children. It doesn't give authority to go hijack a plane, bomb a building. I mean, you have a right to defend yourself. Is this clear? Somebody trying to come in your house, come and force you out of, you know, your home. You have a right, like anybody, to defend yourself. But there's a line that you don't cross.
There is a very important point also for a lot of non-Muslims to know. They ask me a lot about jihad and the concept of jihad and things like that. There is one important thing that non-Muslims need to understand: the nature of religion. Islam is a way of life. In a sense, Islam came to teach people how to establish a state. So it's not like a spiritual things you do it in the church on Sunday or certain times or certain prayer before you eat. It's not like occasional things. It's not like just very general moral system that you follow. Islam has a lot of details related to the way you live your life, the way you live your life. So part of the teaching of Islam, to live as a community, as a state, the issue of declaring war. If you have a Muslim Islamic state, which we call the defense ministry today, or, you know, we have the Secretary of Defense, that position. In Islam, there is rulings and there is teaching from Muhammad and from Allah through the Quran to teach that Secretary of Defense how to behave in a time of war. How to, that leader of the Muslim state, how to declare war, how to deal with those who declare war against Muslim or they are potential enemy for Islam. Mm-hmm. He give him the guidelines. These guidelines, this constitution that governor this department of the Muslim state, that's what you call it, the chapter of Jihad in Islam. That's basically what it does. It is everything in that chapter is in the hand of the government, the hand of the rulers, the hand of the army, the generals who are ruling the Muslims, basically country. It's not something left for individual to declare. It's not left to people to say whatever they want. No, it's not like that. And many people, they couldn't see that. They couldn't understand that. Why these rules exist. It's ruling exists because that's how to govern or the states. That's how the Muslims should use this teaching in their states as a leader. This is guidelines for them.
A couple more points. We're almost out of time. There's a lot of access to new information on the web. I'm just curious. Have you, there's things like 9/11, because a lot of this stemmed from 9/11, which we said that, you know, Islam is separate from this. There's, once again, making this a strong point that Islam has nothing to do with these kind of atrocities. Muslims died in these in this event also, didn't they? Have you heard of this program or things like 9/11 coincidences or any of these things? Have you watched
any? No.
No? Okay. A plane is missing.
In this photograph, an astonished onlooker sees exactly what we're seeing. The Pentagon had not yet collapsed. And again, there is no sign of any wreckage whatsoever. No tail, no fuselage, no wings, no wheels, no engines, no seats, no luggage. Nothing on the outside of the Pentagon. How does a 757 fit into a 16-foot hole and leave no damage or wreckage on the outside of the Pentagon?
There's no plane at the Pentagon. You haven't looked into any of these things, which point totally away from a different direction. It's a lot of facts. It's just questions that are raised. There's a lot of celebrities coming out.
The only, you know, I felt that the only real validation I needed was just being a tax-paying American that loves my country. I've done a lot of research, and it's not just me, it's the people that have come before me, the experts and the engineers and the physicists and the scientists and the scholars that raised a lot of these things, and I took a look at their research and said, yeah, it doesn't add up. A lot of it doesn't add up, hence these questions, you know. And there's two areas. There's Building 7 and there's the five frames from the Pentagon. Don't listen to me. Do your own research, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, what happened to a time in this country when we were entitled, when we had a constitutional and a God-given right to be curious about things that didn't make sense. Don't listen to me. Do your own research.
And there was like detonations.
We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was if they had detonated.
Detonated.
As if they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down. I was.
And
I mean, even if I'm a person who doesn't like conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Yes, one man, the caretaker William Rodriguez, rescued hundreds of people from the North Tower, and it's thought he was the last person to get out alive before it collapsed. We're told that you rescued these people, you got out, and then you went back in, didn't you?
Yes.
Why was that?
Well, three times I went into the building because I wanted to help the people that were actually stuck at Windows of the World, which was the restaurant that was located on the 106th floor of the North Tower. While everybody was running out, I was running in back and forth trying to get to them and to help the rescue effort as it started. I had the only master key. I worked in the building for 20 years as a janitor, and I have the only master key that was used on 9/11.
Can I just ask you one question? Because we've seen there the picture, that harrowing picture, two planes crashed into the Twin Towers, and yet you still maintain there was a conspiracy.
I believe that, I don't doubt that, the planes were there, the plane hit the building, but before, and one of the experiences that I said, even when I was pulled from the rubble on 9/11, is that there was an initial explosion on the sub-level number 2, B2. There were six sub-levels in the building prior to the plane hitting the building. And I believe that was an explosion set up by explosive to actually weaken the foundation.
And nothing will ever change your mind that you think
I was there, I saved people, I actually have the people available for the 9/11 commission. That was the commission that was created to investigate this. They were never called, not even once. They're still available 5 years after, and the government came out with an official story that went against our experience on that day.
Question.
I don't like to treat things like that. But I'll tell you.
Never heard of 911 coincidences?
Welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is William Rodriguez. I'm the last survivor of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. And as you know, I have gone around the world talking about what really happened on 9/11 and how they have used 9/11 for the politics of fear. Remember that? Well, it has been worse, because last year I announced that I became a Muslim. So they attacked me more.
At least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was if they had detonated.
Yeah,
as if they were planned to take down a building.
Boom, 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 boom.
All the way
down. I was question. I don't like to treat things like that. But I'll tell
you. Never heard of 911 coincidences.
I heard about this argument, but I don't believe it's correct. I believe it's happened. I believe it's happened. I believe generally what we hear in the news, it's that's what I think it happened. But for me, it's not far from the truth. Yani, for some people, some Muslims said, oh, the Muslim cannot do that. Why? It's possible. It's possible for them to do that. You know what? I was not shocked. I was not surprised when this happened, because those people who carried that attack against United States is the same people who carry attack in Riyadh, attacked in Egypt, in Algeria. I mean, they're not hesitant to do like this and worse to their own people. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that to America or to in England or Spain or anywhere in the world. I'm not surprised. So I don't need even to go through that to say, oh, they didn't do it. Whatever. You know, I'm not going to go into the details of proving it happened or not, but I would like to live in peace, and I don't like to think much of the conspiracy theory.
Speaking of peace now, Islam, somebody who's out there, and now they've gotten to hear that Islam condemns these kind of acts. Islam is clear of these kind of events. Islam is about submission and surrender to one God, doing what He wants you to do, and living in peace with the Creator, with yourself and society.
Absolutely.
Give us some more details describing what somebody now would have to do to accept Islam and to live Islam. Talk about this briefly before we come to an end.
I just want to say very simple message to all my brothers and sisters who are out there watching us tonight or today, whatever time you have now. Islam is about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The one who created you, the one who created all this universe for you. He deserved to be worshipped alone, not to associate any other with Him, a human or any other creation. You submit yourself to your Lord. He created you, as He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created man and jinn for no reason but to worship me alone. And as much you submit yourself to Him, you thank Him, you basically believe that He is your Lord, and you obey what He ordered you to do, obeying Him. That's the real meaning of worship. That's the real message, the essential message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, don't confuse yourself with all these details and talk. That's what's going to make you survive in the day of judgment. To know why He created you, why you are there, why you are been created, is to worship Him, to know Him. And without realizing this fact, the persons live this life lost. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of us. And thank you very much for having me tonight.
Thank you, Sheikh, for being with us. And I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Dean Show. Come back every week, visit us, and we hopefully clear some of this junk that's out there so you can see the truth, and hopefully you accept the truth that there's only one God. He created you. He took care of you when you're in your mother's womb. He's there, ready to forgive you. All you got to do is accept Him as your creator, the last and final messenger of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Islam is not a new religion. It's the same way of life that was brought by all the messengers. So when you're ready to do that, you can dial the number on the screen, 1-800-662-ISLAM. We're here to help you. You're our brothers in humanity. But take that next step. Accept that there is only one God. You're ready to do what He wants you to do on His terms. And then you'll be our brothers in faith. Hopefully we'll see you next time again. Every week on The Dean Show. Until next time, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.